Good morning or hello, everyone out there in internet land. This is Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa, and today we are talking about how to bring more flexibility and creativity into our relationships. So go ahead, Melissa.
I so this topic for this episode just downloaded into my brain this morning and got really, really loud. Because at first I was like, okay, I hear that, but how do we approach this subject? So we're gonna wing it. Yeah, we'll see, like, yeah, what decides to come through. Because as I'm feeling into this creativity subject, the other subject, or how I have looked at relationships, how I have been raised around them, raised to believe certain things around them, is there's this very rigid structure. And that structure is usually existing inside gender roles. I don't think that that's necessarily good or bad. It's more about what's right for each individual. And I noticed some of those gender roles didn't feel good to me or didn't feel right to me. And I noticed I felt very restrictive in those heteronormative, patriarchal, like, gender norms. So some of it I've still kept. Some of it I'm like, no, I'm not available for that. In the process of doing that, there has had to be a certain level of flexibility. Not only for the relationship, but for the person I'm in a relationship with. And I don't really identify as a very flexible person, but it's not fair to my partner to have everything be the way that I need it or the way that I want it, which has then introduced creativity into certain aspects of relationships. Like, it's very present sexually because that's like where we can play and we can be a little more open and vulnerable and we can explore different things. But looking at flexibility and creativity in terms of love and how we love someone and how we want to be loved, sometimes it gets really messy, like finger painting. It's just gonna be a mess. And sometimes that mess is fun. Sometimes it's really fun. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing. We just have all the fingers are messy and it's all over the paper and they're doing the same thing. And it's like, how do we navigate this? How do we create an image from this? So sometimes things too can look like a very sharp, clear photograph. Like when we're on the same page, when things are going super well, it's either a painting that's photorealism or we're looking at a photograph and it's sharp. Sometimes it's a blurry photograph where you're like, okay, I can kind of make out what that subject is, but I don't, the boundaries aren't super clear. In those moments, we can decide and choose what it is we want to create, what it is we want to see. And in that, there are more decisions of, well, what medium do I use? How do I get there? What path am I taking to get to either making the photograph sharper, picking up a paintbrush instead of finger painting, you know? I want to come up with like actual examples instead of like.
Metaphors are good though. Metaphors are really good because everyone can sort of fit their specific circumstances into your metaphor.
That is true. Yes. I feel like the metaphor is, it's like, okay, I'm seeing all this, but then I'm like, how do we make it a little more tangible? For me, okay. There's two things. And this is just the route that I take. So there are like a list of desires, a list of standards, or how I want to feel in relationship with people. And in order to get there has to be a certain level of curiosity. So a lot of times, like back in the day, I was just rolling with whatever I saw and was just like, well, this is good enough. Or, well, I mean, I like this. I kind of like this. So we'll just keep going. But now I'm like, no, I need these things to function well in a relationship. That does not mean the other person is obligated to meet those things. If they cannot, then I have to reevaluate the relationship. And then in order to see if it's gonna match, it's like I need to be curious about the other person, need to ask the questions and see where they're at. And still look at the things that I want. Does this match? Sometimes that process goes extremely well. Sometimes people change their minds. Sometimes I change my mind. And sometimes there is no solution or resolution. And that is some of the most difficult experiences to go through. You've got two good people who want to be together and they can't seem to find the way to make it work. So then it's like, do you keep trying or do you end? And like this happens in art too. You're constantly making decisions. Do we make this lighter or darker? Is it sharper or softer? More color, less color? You know, it's, and you are the one that holds the vision for yourself. So the decisions you're making, are they supporting the vision that you have for yourself and your relationship? And again, this also requires the flexibility too. Like if when we have another person's energy in there, do we want to adjust the vision or not? I think I'm going to stop with the metaphor, Chantel.
I love it though. It's a
I
really good metaphor.
don't want to see your brain.
Oh yeah. So flexibility. I saw this thing recently, this video talking about how the most mentally healthy people are the most flexible. Are they're just able to, or they know themselves well enough, like they're firm on who they are and what they want. And when like life throws you a plot twist, yeah, it's okay to have all the feels about that plot twist. And it's mentally healthy to be able to find our way through that. And like we always have the choice, like to look on the dark side or on the light side. Like I'm thinking of that one picture where these two people are sitting on the bus beside, like driving along the side of a mountain. And so the one person's just looking at the side of the mountain and it's all like gray and stuff. And the other person's looking out this beautiful sunny field. And like either one of them could have looked at either side. And like there's always good and bad things, no matter what plot twist comes around, even though it does sometimes seem, and like I've had pretty bad plot twists in my life. And sometimes it does seem all horrible and that there's no bright side. And I'm not trying to, like, what do you call it, silver lining it, like Brené Brown says. Like I don't go up to everyone and be like, but look on the bright side. I'm talking about, this is for me, for myself, when I'm throwing a plot twist, how flexible can I be? And how can I kind of, like, one of my mentors said to me too, when he had a plot twist, he always kind of made it seem like he planned it, or like what would it be like if that's what he had planned the whole time. Like,
Oh, I love that.
yeah, it was a
Yes.
fun thing to try on. Like I'm not saying this is a tool for everyone. I just, when I find a helpful tool for myself, I add it to my repertoire. It's like Minecraft, and you get what, I've never really played Minecraft, but I've seen my kids, and they acquire these things, right? So, and like I feel like these tools are kind of interchangeable too. Like sometimes you need them for a couple of years of your journey, and then sometimes it's like, oh, that's not so helpful for me anymore. And then you leave that tool by the wayside and find something else that works better. And that's like along the same lines of flexibility too. Like if it's working for us, then yes, use it. But if there's something that's not working for us in a relationship, in life, in the bedroom, whatever, we have the permission to pivot, and we always have the choice of where to look, and what kind of perspective we want to have, what kind of attitude. I feel like the perspective and attitude that we have, it really shapes everything. Like, what was I telling my kid the other day? We were driving, and I was like, well, we could be like, nobody cares. Or we could be like, nobody cares. Right? Like, it's the same thing. You're saying the same thing, but with a totally different perspective and attitude about it. But like these things are across the board. It's not just saying nobody cares. It's like other things you could say. where it's just like, oh, that's not going to work out for this relationship, or that's not going to turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. And you're going to be like, oh, that's not going to turn out that way. Well, that opens up so many different opportunities for me. Or, like now I see things that could have gone south, and now that won't be an issue. Like, there's always, I don't know, it kind of like opens up a whole bunch more tabs in my brain. Whereas sometimes I feel like, because we're human, we like routine, we like knowing what's going to happen, we like that sense of security, even though I feel like that sense of security and safety is an illusion a lot of the time. Like we trick ourselves into thinking that we're safe and secure, and really, like we're in space, and like we're moving at a fast rate. I'm assuming. I'm no scientist, but like there's a lot of things we don't have control over, and we like to trick ourselves that we do have control over them. And so I feel like the more we can be like sort of plot twisty and like, I'm up for this. Like maybe after I've had a good cry and I've had a good sleep, then I'm ready to journal or, figure it out. Like, what's my next step? How do I pivot? And yeah, the whole like even permission, giving myself permission to pivot towards my preferences in life, in relationships, in the bedroom. That's been huge, because in the past it's just like either I thought I had to just mold myself around other people's preferences, or I had to stick with what I knew or what my beliefs were. And my beliefs were just like they used to be before, like when I was growing up, my beliefs were just really rigid, like, well, these are my parents' beliefs, so these are also my beliefs, and that's all we can do forever and ever, amen. It's like, and then you become an adult and you see more possibilities, and you're like, oh, okay, well, there is possibility for creativity, flexibility. Like there's a lot more opportunity when we can like open our minds a little bit and see the yin yang, right? The good, the bad, and work with it. Like, I don't want to be like that always sparkly, heavy person. And yet at the same time, I want to make room for both things, because like if you don't like fully look at the shadow and everything, then you have an incomplete picture, or you're like repressing something that really needs to be expressed, or a part of yourself that really wants to say something. Like often in these pivot moments or these, disappointing moments, there are all these parts of me coming up, they want to say something. And yet I often find myself having this one sort of manager part just being like, you stay in your place, you get back in that box. Like if that person's allowed to talk, there's gonna be a cry in public here, and then what? So not judging those parts, making room for the ones that feel lost, and yeah, it's important.
I love what you're saying about like the shadow side of things and embracing more of our darkness. I just had this conversation with someone the other day that it's my belief that people who are aware of their darkness and have integrated it or are working to integrate it are some of the most attractive people. And it feels really safe to be with them because if they can do that for themselves, then they are generally capable of holding space for someone else's shadows, for someone else's darkness. And then it made me think. I have this image. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before. I talk about it on the Instagrams, but I work part-time as an art model. And when the artists are creating the image that they're seeing of my body, they start with the shadows. They start with the darkness. And so I have this painting where the practice was they were strictly using black paint. And I don't even think they used anything white. They used the black paint to highlight the shape of my body. So it looks like a black and white painting, basically. But there is no other white paint. It's just they created the light from the dark. It's a very stark image, but it's beautiful. And we can't have the image. If it was all light, you wouldn't see my form. You know? So it's like the more, and it's scary. I'm not saying it's the easiest thing to look at ourselves. And look at the parts of ourselves that maybe we don't like, that maybe are not super socially acceptable, the darker thoughts and feelings we have. But the more we love and accept that we have them, I feel like the calmer we feel and the more safety we feel inside of ourselves. And then we attract other people who are doing the same exact thing, right? Like they see that, they find us attractive, we find them attractive. Because, yeah, like you were saying too, like not wanting to be like constantly silver lining everything. Y'all, that drives me fucking crazy, crazy. When I'm sharing with someone that I am feeling a negative emotion and it's someone that I love and trust, and they're like, okay, well, I'm sorry you're feeling that way, but I hope your day is great. Okay. It makes me so mad. So mad. I'm sharing with you that I'm feeling this negative emotion. I don't need the other person to fix it. I'm not asking that of them. I'm almost asking, like, will you sit next to me, not inside of me, not but just like witness me and be with me in that I'm gonna figure it out. I am a capable human being. It's just knowing that support is there. And it doesn't feel like support when someone's just like, hope your day is great. I'm just like, what? So, yes, this happened recently, so I'm still really fiery about it. But it happens a lot. And I'm just, as it's happening, again, back to the creative, like art project of relationships, I'm watching my reaction to these words. What I'm seeing is someone that doesn't know how to support me. And then I'm looking at how would I like to communicate how I need support, which I haven't fully come up with that yet. But
Well, yeah, and like everyone's at a different level of consciousness. And like you said, the people who know how to hold space for their own parts, and you know, when those parts of us that feel lost or alone or scared or unsure, when we can hold those parts of ourselves, then we can do that for other people. But we do have to realize that not a whole lot of people have learned how to do that yet. Like, you know, just because we can do that for people now because we're doing it for ourselves, like, and it's not like, oh, we've done it, okay, yay, that, check that off the list, I'm great for the rest of my life. No, it's a constant process throughout life of doing that. Yeah, some other things came up too for me when you were talking about that. When I love the analogy of like the art and the like the painting the dark first and the shadows and stuff, and it's just like, you don't have a full picture if you don't see the shadow and like and hold space for the shadow and all that. And I've been really getting more clear lately on what is my no and what is my yes. And sometimes like I have to focus, and it's not like one or the other is dark or light, but sometimes like when I just really focus on one, then the other one becomes clear. If I'm not able to make one of those things clear, you know, and it used to be that I was just focused so much on boundaries, 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 and then I didn't know what I actually wanted, you know. And so often in therapy sessions too, people come to me and they're like, this is the problem, but then it's like, well, what do you want? Oh, I have no idea, right? Like, and I'm the same way a lot of the time. And it's just like, well, what would happen if we just, you know, did like, what do we want? And then we can, and that will fill in the other part. Like, it's like taking turns of the light and the dark, or the, yeah, I don't know. That's what came up when you were telling that story. And also, the what we resist persists. So it's like when we are always like suppressing the shadow and not allowing those parts to like express emotion or like say what they want to say, like often, like even just like when you tune into your heart, like sometimes like I cry and cry and cry. It's just like, because it just hasn't been heard for so long, and it's just like so relieved to have a voice, or like I know you and I write a lot. It's just like when we just could just pour it all out on the page, and like then it's there, then it's been expressed, and it's there's such a relief in that. I just really love it. And that thing about holding space too, just getting back to that, like when you're telling someone, I feel like I haven't fully, I don't feel like I'm there yet. And like I'm quite neurodivergent. And I find that people who are neurodivergent, when they are hearing someone else's pain, not only do they react the way that they would react for their own parts, but I find neurodivergent people often say, like, I know how you feel because I felt such and such, you know? And I, it's not that, well, maybe it is the perfectionist part of me coming out. It's just like, I really want to be able to be that person who responds properly, you know, each time. But like, that's the part of me that pipes up first, like inside, even if I don't voice it. Like if you were here telling me like I am going through this horrible thing right now, the first voice that pops up in my head is just like, oh, I've had a hard thing too. And like I know that's not the way to do it like at all, but yeah, just perfect transparency. That's sometimes what comes up, and it's not necessarily the sparkly one. Like it's usually not the one saying, oh, you know, have a good day. And like sometimes I think that people who do that, not only do they like that's how they react to their own thing, but often it's maybe a boundary for them that's just like, I've decided to have a good day. Nothing's going to get in the way of my good day, and nobody else's bad stories is going to, you know, like I'm just going to be me and they can have their stuff. So, and I mean, that's their prerogative, and it's like it's up to us to be like, okay, I'm triggered. Why am I triggered? It's not their fault that I'm triggered. That's come up for me this week where I've been triggered, and I'm just like, every part of me is like, but they're doing this to me. No, they're not. Like, they're just having their life, and I'm having to pivot, adjust, be flexible, be creative.
Exactly. Yes, that it's a hard thing to navigate if you're in one emotional state and then the person that you're with isn't like on the opposite end of the spectrum of that. It's like, because yeah, I don't want to drag anyone down or engage in toxic positivity if someone else is down. You know, it's just like, and no one's responsible for any, like, we're responsible for ourselves, obviously, but it's looking at how do we support each other if we're on two ends of a spectrum
But
so
and when you're in a
much.
relationship with someone, like a one-on-one thing, when one person is chaos, like I'm, and the other person is like the lighthouse. I'm just trying to think in metaphor here too. So like there's a storm, right? And then one person could just be the lighthouse and be just like, let me hold you through this. Like I'm here. I care about you. I care that you're storming. I'm still the lighthouse. Like how nice is that? And it doesn't matter which gender it is. Like, I feel like it's so nice to be able to take turns and not have both of us be the storm at the same time. Like, that is so challenging when there's no lighthouse and there's just storm everywhere. Like, taking turns is so much easier.
It is,
And
yes.
it's tiresome to always be the lighthouse, and it's tiresome to always be the storm. Like,
Yes.
yeah.
Yep, it's true. is there anything else you want to add?
I don't know. I just like your thing about creativity, and I'm just thinking about in the bedroom specifically right now, when we can be in the moment and present and, you know, able to navigate like just in that moment, it makes everything so much more beautiful. Like I'm not saying compromise or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like maybe throw out some preconceived notion of like this is, you know, step A, step B, step C, and have a little fun and just like enjoy a longer period of time where Nobody has to be doing anything. Like, just be there. And when you could just be there, there's a lot more creativity and pleasure that can be found in like the nuances. And I don't know. That's what came up for me is like, I don't want to forget to say that. And like, if you're so stuck to your like, this is how it's done in this time frame, and this is like the grand finale, and it's got to be done, it's just like, no, nothing has to be done.
No.
Just be together and enjoy each other. Gosh.
As you're talking, I was just like feeling, like my heart open up. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. Because it's one thing to know the thing, but it's a whole other thing to actually experience the thing and like be present and be like, yeah, it doesn't have to follow a script. And what would it be like if you did follow your heart, if you did follow your instinct in that moment? Not like, well, this is the next thing on the menu that we've got to check off before we get to the grand finale. Like, no. What if the grand finale was more connection or feeling more intimate with each other?
Or like a
Or,
nice massage. Who doesn't like a
yes,
nice
please. Oh my
massage?
God. Yes. I need that to be
Gosh.
the start and the finish.
Yeah. Do not leave that out of your ABC, whatever you do.
Exactly.
Yeah. The like improv,
Yes.
like improv is so fun to watch.
It's hilarious. Yes.
Right? It's just so, yes. Like that's how it should be in the bedroom, improv.
Yes.
And I love
It
what you said
should.
about an open heart because that's come up for me this week too. When I've been throwing some curveballs and my heart, I felt it. I felt it like just want to close. I felt myself wanted to be a turtle, go into my shell and stay there for a month, cancel all my plans and just drama, drama, right? But my favorite book is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer, and he talks about keeping your heart open, like no matter what, and how that just brings so much more to your life. Like, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you don't never break up with anyone. Like, that's not what it means. It just means to keep it open, like to let the energy flow through. Like when you close your heart, you close off the energy flowing through your body, and it's hard to give and receive. It's hard to like do anything. Like when you don't feel the bad, then you can't feel the good. And that's where depression creeps in. And ain't nobody got time for that, y'all. I don't have time for, I don't want to. I want to enjoy this messy life for all of its messiness, all of its creativity, and just, yeah.
Definitely. Yes, I agree.
Mic drop.
Yep. Yes. Yay. All right, y'all. What do I feel like I have a question for y'all. How do you want to choose to be creative in your relationships? Like, what medium do you want to use? Real talk, I'm out here with the finger paints right now, but it's fine. It's totally fine. Sometimes it's oil paint and it's a really beautiful landscape, but right now it's some finger paint. We got some feet in there too. It's just wild. So, yeah, want to hear from y'all what your what creativity and relationship means to you. But yeah, we will
I'm going to
see y'all.
journal on that.
Same, yes. I might go write some erotica on that. But yes. Yay. Well, have a wonderful week, y'all, and we will see you soon.
Bye.